Father, I truly do thank you. I thank you, Father God, for your Son, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for your plan of salvation through your Son, Jesus. And I'm asking you, Father God, during this Easter season, that your children understand who you truly are and what your Son really did for us. And I'm asking that your Holy Spirit move throughout this congregation this morning. And Father God, lives are truly changed, just not surface change, but change from the very depth of their being, Father. And Father God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is on the throne. He's not going to get down off the throne. And he is still in control. I was working on this morning's sermon, and all of a sudden God said to me, we need to talk. So I quit doing what I was doing and got to a blank sheet of paper, and this is what he said. When I speak a word, it will happen. Do you hear that? The only way it won't happen is if the people don't allow it to happen through doubt and unbelief. Doubt in this context refers to questioning or uncertainty about the truth of my words. Unbelief, on the other hand, is a lack of faith or trust in my promises. These two words are destroying the words I have spoken over my people. They must comprehend what is being said and then move in that direction. It does not matter what they see, hear, or comprehend. If I said it, it will come to pass. How long did it take my glory to fall after I spoke it into existence? How many years was it, Chris? 10, 7, 8, 10. How long did it take my glory to fall after I spoke it into existence? But it fell just as I spoke, did it not? If I speak a word over your life, it is already set in motion, working its way to you. However, the enemy who has infiltrated my people's minds is causing doubt and unbelief, wreaking havoc everywhere. The enemy's goal is to undermine my words and prevent them from coming to pass in your life. You see that? I do not want you to fall into this deceptive trap. I have spoken over your life, and so shall it be. I have spoken over everyone's life in the lighthouse, and so shall it be if they stay out of doubt and unbelief. What manner of evil befalls you is because of the words I have spoken. Now look at that. What manner of evil befalls you is because of the words I have spoken. The enemy is trying to usurp my authoritative words in each of your lives. In other words, whatever's going on in your life is because of what God has spoken over your life. God said, I am the master of the wind, and it blows wherever I wish it to. I am blowing my winds of change over my body. This wind of change will blow all the old away, and the new will move in all its fullness. And God's been telling us he's trying to get rid of the old so he can fill us full of the new. God said, your lives will be forever changed, and you will no longer desire the old. There's too many people sitting in this house tonight that still desire the old. They really don't want to change. They only say that with their lips, but their heart is not matching up with their lips, and they still want to do the old. All right, God said, infiltration of the enemy is everywhere. My people must be on guard and call upon the protective holy angels to keep the enemy at bay in their lives. Turmoil after turmoil is upon the waters of affliction, and it is trying to drown out my body of believers. At this given moment, I have sent a mandate into the very throes of hell. Let my people go. The enemy has to obey my words. The next step is yours, my beloved ones. You must step out of doubt and unbelief. When God speaks, let my people go, Satan has to let us go. But if we're going to walk around in doubt and unbelief, we keep ourselves in bondage. All right. Now, if you notice, the bulletin today has the angel on the cover, because that's what God told me to do. And I ran across this supernatural, and this Dutch Sheets and Tim Sheets, they had a big gathering at, I can't think of his name now, Chuck Pierce, at Chuck Pierce's place. And this is something that I ran across that was said, so we're going to look at this. He said, the supernatural enforcers have arrived. Dutch says, a few weeks back, I was in a service with my brother, Tim, and the Holy Spirit moved in profound ways. The Lord had revealed various leaders before the meetings, which came together that night and produced great breakthroughs. It was a very significant night. Now, God has been telling us that the angels are here on assignment. Now, the only way these angels can help us is if we get out of doubt and unbelief. People can't believe that there's actually angels following you around to fight your battles for you. So you continue to fight your own battles and you lose every one of them. All right, then he said, the angel gate is open. And Tim shares now. I believe the Holy Spirit has revealed a kingdom strategy for the ecclesia. That's you and I. Now activated at a new level. This will demand that we function as a true church. The word Christ used, ecclesia means the church, and that's the word Christ used to define the church. But I'm going to put the word church there in its place, all right? Remember, church, the word translated as church in the New Testament is a Greek word that refers to a judicial or legislative body. This meaning must be understood for us to comprehend our mission statement. Now, everything we do, we have to take to the courtroom of heaven. Everything, every one of your prayers, everything you, any way you fight, you just don't do it like you used to. You take it to the courtroom of heaven. This really smells like gas. Remember that, okay? I believe the reason why a lot of people's prayers are not being answered is because you're not praying properly. You haven't gone into the courtroom of heaven, and that's the only place that God is operating from right now, is the courtrooms of heaven. If you don't take your every one of your prayers, every one of your situations, what you need to do is take it to the courtroom in heaven. Say, God, I'm coming to your courtroom. And I have something I want to talk about, but I want you to tell the enemy he has to come too. And then once the enemy gets there, then you start stating your case. And then God is going to judge what you talk to him about. And the enemy is going to be sitting there listening. So however God judges, that's what the enemy has to do. But if you don't take it to the courtroom, God's not there judging, and you're going to stay bound. I just wish you guys are supposed to work putting out books in the courtroom. You get them done so the body of Christ can read them. And this is why God has commanded you to write the books now, because now is the time that we need to have the books so we can read. And I know people have been writing about the courtroom forever, but now there's a new thing going on in the courtroom. And as I talk to the guys that write the books about the courtroom, what they tell me is something that hasn't been written yet. But because you're not writing the books and getting them out there, the body of Christ is stumbling and falling, and God's going to hold their blood on your hands and on Aaron's hands. Because the two of you, I don't know if it's anybody else, but I know the two of you are supposed to be writing these books. And these books will set the people free. All right. Our church recently, this is what Tim shares. Our church recently hosted a prophetic summit, a night in which the church convened and pressed in to hear from the Lord regarding our current season. As I was praying about the summit, the Holy Spirit allowed me to see into the spirit realm. And while praying, I said, Lord, people are coming from around our nation, some driving many hours to be here. I want it to be beneficial to them and worth their time. Some are even flying in. And when I said that, I heard the Holy Spirit very clearly say, they aren't the only ones. And I was immediately given a vision. In this vision, I saw a host of angels coming to the meeting. See that? The Holy Spirit revealed that they were coming from other nations worldwide. In other words, angels from all over the world were coming to this one meeting. Based on the way they were dressed, I recognized different divisions of angels. I saw government angels, which partner with the prayers and degrees of a governing ecclesiastes, which is a church, and I saw seraphim, which are the mightiest order of angels. And during this vision, I could sense the power, strength, and delegated authority of these mighty angels. Hundreds of them were coming to this convening of the king's ecclesiastes. Tim goes on to say, I trembled in the holy presence of God and knew the Holy Spirit was revealing a supernatural level of assistance. You see that? I trembled in the presence of God and knew the Holy Spirit was revealing a supernatural level of assistance, and it was dramatically increasing. I began to weep as I saw the hosts of heaven coming from other nations and realized this would be a game changer. And this is a game changer that we are in right now. If you're using your cell phone, please put it away. The body of Christ is still not aware of the importance of the hour. We are still not aware of the fact that the enemy is working overtime trying to destroy those who are truly following God. And if he can destroy those in the top government, in the church, he has the rest of the church. You need to start being true followers of Christ. Really sticking your feet in that stone and saying, I'm not going to be moved. I was reading something this morning, and it was about where God changed Abram's name to Abraham. And God told me a while back, he said, I want you to take Lynch off the end of your name. I don't want you to use that no more. And I thought, I wonder why. And then when I read this article, I realized why. When God changes a person's name in the Bible, there was always a new anointing attached to that name change. And I forget what else I read, but I really got excited. You know, see how dumb you are. You know, God told me this, I know, 6 months ago or longer to take my Lynch off my name. And I couldn't figure out why. It took me this long to find out why. So, you know, so if you don't catch what God's doing right away, it might take you 6 months like it did me. But God's going to make sure you understand why he's doing what he's doing. So I'm excited. And I know that the enemy's fight me tooth and nail all day yesterday and now this morning right here in this church. But I'm excited because we are going to a greater level and greater things are going to happen. And the thing that God said he's going to use this church for, he's going to use it for. I don't care who he has to remove. He's going to use this church. And I don't care what I have to go through to make sure he uses this church, because I know what God told us. He's going to use this church to break out revival and win Lower Delaware and the Delmarva area for Christ. Now, see, I don't walk in doubt, and I believe I know he's doing that. I just know why I'm being fought tooth and nail right now, because we are ready to step into that, the great signs, wonders, and miracles, all right? And you need to get excited, too, because I know he's, as I listen to each one of you, he's fighting each one of you as bad as he's fighting me. But it's only because you should feel the Holy Spirit right now. We're all going into this thing together. It's just not me. It's just not you. We're all going through this together. And we've all been fought tooth and nail for years to stop us, but he can't. We're all bullheaded. That's why I told God. I said, everybody you sent in here is bullheaded. And he said, so are you. And, you know, so he has to have bullheaded people that will stand up against the wiles of the enemy, and you won't give in. All right? All right, then. A white stone meeting. I spoke that evening at the summit, but did not share this vision. In fact, I hadn't shared it with anybody. My brother Dutch was also one of the speakers, and at the end of his message, he invited a prophet, Clay Nash, to share a dream he had been given. In this dream, an angel referring to himself as a justice gate angel told Clay this prophetic summit would be a white stone meeting. My spirit leaped when he said this, and I instantly knew it was why the angels I had seen were coming to the meeting. Revelation 2:17 says, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." All right. When this verse was written, the giving of a white stone had two meanings. You know, when it was written in the Bible. First, in the Roman athletic games, a white stone was given to the winner of a contest, race, or competition. The person's name was inscribed on the stone, which served as a ticket to attend an awards banquet. Isn't that something? However, another meaning of giving someone a white stone occurred in the court system of Rome, which is what I feel the Justice Gate Angel was referencing to. Roman courts use jurors similar to our justice system. The jury would hear a matter, deliberate, and then issue a decision, just as we do today. When the verdict had been reached, a clear vase was set before the jury. They placed a black stone in the jar to indicate guilty and a white stone for not guilty. All right, so this is a white stone meeting they were in, and so they were not guilty. All right. Dutch shares. Now, for the angel to state that this would be a white stone meeting could mean two things. One, we, the church, are going to receive a favorable ruling from the courtroom of heaven. Or two, we, the church, are the jury and will be issuing the verdict. That is certainly a different perspective. And I believe that we are both. And I really believe that we are the jury against Satan and his demons. Could it be, were the angels actually coming to hear our ruling and then take action accordingly? Matthew 16:18 says, "Upon this rock of revelation I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I've been using this scripture now for about 2 months. I don't know why I just started using binding, and I used them when I prayed with you. And what does it say here? Let's read this again. Upon this rock of revelation, so you have to have revelation first. I had revelation of this scripture that day. "I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Now, this is what the keys will do. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So if you're praying and you're binding that devil, you know, and he can't do what he's supposed to do, and then plead the blood of Jesus over it. So when you're binding that thing, it's bound in heaven, and that you're going to get an answer to your prayer. The enemy's no longer going to be able to harass whatever you're praying about. Are you listening to this? All right. In his book, Prayer is Invading the Impossible. I think this should be in this book. The Prayer is Invading the Impossible. Respected leader Jack Hayford, now in heaven, based on a literal rendering of the Greek verbiage, says the following is a careful amplification of the above verses. So let's see what he says. "Whatever you may at any time encounter of hell's counsels, which I'm declaring my church shall prevail against, you will then face a decision as to whether you will or won't bind it. What transpires will be conditional upon your response. If you personally and consciously involve yourself in the act of binding the issue on earth, you will discover that at the that future moment when you do, it has already been bound in heaven." See, you determine how the thing is going to turn out by the way you pray. How many of you, like me, you've been reading the scripture ever since you've been saved, and it just, well, that sounds cute. But God, you know, a couple months ago, God gave me a great revelation about binding and loosening. And since I've been praying that way, I am seeing a lot of results. All right, you need to start using that. Incredible. Notice this portion. "You will face a decision whether you will or won't bind it." Or just say you're a drug addict, you know, and you keep wanting, you keep having desire to do drugs. All right, are you going to tell that addiction, I bind you right now in the name of Jesus, you will not come and harass me. I loose your hold on me right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind, my will, and my emotions. And Satan, you leave right now and don't come back again. You see what you have to do? You have to bind and loose. All right, what transpires will be conditional upon your response, not God's response. Because God gave us the keys to bind and loose, right? And we're supposed to be, this is why God told me one time, the body of Christ is not using all the weapons he has given them to fight the enemy. And this is one we haven't been using, I don't think. This is amazing. And when Tim heard what the justice angel said, he knew in his spirit that this was why the angels had come, to hear our decisions and responses in order to enforce them. Don't you believe that since God said the angels are on assignment, when you're praying, that angel's standing there listening to every word you're saying, and then he acts on your words. All right? And if you're praying wrong, he can't act on anything. All right. These angels were waiting for Christ's church to hear what God was saying, judge situations based on his laws, and issue his verdict with their decrees. They were waiting for Christ's church to hear what God was saying, judge situations based on his laws, you know, God's laws, and issue his verdict with their decrees. Church, I want you to grab a hold of that this morning. This is real. I mean, I know God showed me this a couple months ago, but then here comes this teaching from them. And I said, wow, God will always back up what he tells you. He will always have you run across something that will prove to you that he is speaking to you. All right, back to Tim. When I heard the words that this would be a white stone meeting, I knew Holy Spirit had sent the angels to hear the verdict of the church, what it would forbid and what it would permit. In a sense, the prophetic summit was a court session. See that? And based upon Matthew 16, 18, and 19, what transpired will be conditional upon our response. Now, I'm not going to let the devil come into my church, into God's house, and do its thing anymore. I've done that long enough. You want devils, you keep your devils, but you're not going to bring them in here and let them act out through you, because they do. I'm going to bind them things as soon as I feel them, and I'm going to make them leave the church. You like your devils? Fine. They're going to take you straight to hell. But you're not going to interfere. Your devils are not going to interfere with God's doing to his body. And me, as a pastor, I have to do this. I have to take the authority over the enemy. I don't care who the enemy's in. I have to take authority. I have to march over the sheep, because God's going to hold me accountable what I did or did not do. All right, Job. All right, I said, in a sentence, where am I at? All right, well, what I said was, in a sense, a prophetic summit was a court session. And based upon Matthew 16, 18, 19, what transpired would be conditional upon our response. And Job 22, 28 says that we decree a thing to see it established. We. And Psalms 103, 20 says that angels hearken to God's words and decrees. And, you know, we've been taught for years and years we need to start decreeing things, speaking things into existence that we, you know, so God can act on them. When we decree verdicts based on God's word and his will, they bring his and our words to pass. Angels are waiting to hear the ruling to enforce the verdict. Are you hearing that? They are the enforcers of the church's biblical and spirit-led rulings against evil, lawlessness, and corruption in their territories. You know, if you don't take authority in your home, at your workplace, in your church, or wherever, if you don't take authority over those enemies that you know, the devils that are working there, they're going to stay there. But if you start taking over praying against those things, they have to leave. Now, in my home, my bedroom feels safe to me. You know, my bedroom, we have a little thing there. But if I walk out into the rest of the house, it is not safe because the enemy's still there. Why is the enemy still there? Even though I've prayed and anointed with oil, because the people living outside my bedroom door are serving the devil. And they're keeping that atmosphere, that dark atmosphere there, until they either leave my home or they change the way they live. They keep demonic darkness there in my home, and I'm tired of it. And each one of you should be tired of it too. You know, when I worked, my office area, The Holy Spirit was there so strong, and people come in, or you know the story, come in or sit down on a chair by my desk just to feel the peace that was in my office. All right? So you need to start taking back, claiming back your territory that you allowed. All right, I'm taking back the territory that I allowed the enemy to come in and just take away from me. Each one of you in here, you need to do that in your lives. You need to start taking back the territory that you allowed, because the enemy can't take anything from you unless you allow it. You and I wanted to be the good guy. Well, the good guy lost out. I wasn't a good guy. I was a stupid guy, because I just thought if he's nice enough, the people would change. It doesn't work that way. They have to do some changing all through their life. All right. The Holy Spirit is releasing these powerful angels at a far greater level to enforce the church's verdicts rendered in the King's name. I'm telling you guys, the angels are around you, and they are listening for how you're speaking and how you're praying. And if you really want God to move in your life, you're going to have to start binding and loosening. The supernatural enforcers have arrived, and they're the angels. Will we issue the verdicts they need in order to battle hell's forces? Or will we, through unbelief and silence, be a hung jury that can't make up our mind? And that's what we're in. The church is a hung jury. Please don't fall asleep this morning. Lift your heads. Lift your head high and sit up in your seat. I'm not speaking to the top of your head. I'm speaking to your face. All right, prayer and decree from Dutch Sheets. Hand those out, please, Amy. I'm telling you guys, some of you guys in here, you have one foot in hell. I'm going to tell you that right out front. You have one foot in hell. You're acting like hell itself. And if you don't get that foot out of hell, you're going to hell. Fact. That's a fact. Read your word if you don't believe that. You keep coming against God's spirit, and God is not happy with that. You need to get your act together and get it together quickly. Whenever you die, God is going to judge those. He put people in your path that you were supposed to get set free. But instead, you didn't get them set free. You got bound up worse than what you were by the devils that they had. He's going to judge you for that. He's going to ask you why you allowed that soul to go to hell. Amen. Come on. I don't care if it's a friend. I don't care if your kids, the next door neighbor, who. You profess to know God, but you don't live it. You don't live it. You just profess it. We need to start living what we're saying. God is right now separating the sheep from the goats. And you'll never be able to stand before God and say, I didn't know. Well, she was a hypocrite. I'm sorry. You tell that to God, he's going to knock your head off your shoulders. Amen. I hear that so much, I just could just puke. No, you're the one that's the problem, not she or he. Isn't that right? A true child of God will always be called a hypocrite, so don't let it bother you. All right, this is a prayer and decree that Dutch Sheet put together. Lord, let this revelation, you can read it. Lord, let this revelation seep into our hearts. You are revealing that the church's authority reaches greater levels and measures than we have known. The angel gate is open, and these mighty ones will hearken to our words. They will enforce our binding of evil and our loosing of nations, cultures, and governments from demonic rule. As our decrees for revival and reformation go forth, they will give us stunning victories and divine surprises in this season. We ask for these angels to enforce breakthrough decrees and verdicts against Baal and his activities. We accept our role as Christ's church and declare that we do rule and reign with him. In Christ's name, we will open doors no man can close and close doors no man can open. We will say what you say. Your words will be our words. May your kingdom and Ecclesiastes rise for your glory. May your power be released in the lives of individuals. Let healings, breakthroughs, and victories be released And may angels be assigned to minister in our personal lives, families, and businesses. In Yeshua's name we pray. Then he said, our decree is, we decree that the supernatural enforcers are with us to carry out the declared promises of God. Now, did everybody get a copy of that? I think you really need to read that at home. Keep that where you can get that down in your spirit, because I'm just hearing God say, I am fulfilling prophecy this morning. And what I have spoken over your life, so shall it be. Some of you in here, you're playing games with God, and God, he already dropped the bat. He's not playing ball no more. So, you know, if you go to hell, that's on your shoulders, not on mine, and not on anybody sitting in this church. You've made that decision this morning. I don't want to be in the house of God. I don't want God to tell me what to do. I'm my own man or my own woman. You can't blame it on anybody else. This church has been taught the full gospel. And now God is ready. He wants to move on to the miracles. I've been praying and praying for God, everybody in the church is being attacked with some sort of sickness in their body or in their mind even. And I've been praying that God move in a mighty way and set everybody free. The healings, you know, the inner healings, your sicknesses, your mind, whatever it is. And God's getting ready to bust that wide open. You are given a chance this morning to make a final decision. What am I going to do with my life? And you can fool yourself all you want. You can speak all the words you want to speak, but God knows your heart. And I really don't like to use that phrase, because God does know your heart, and he knows it's cold and it's bitter against him. But God also knows the hearts that are open to him and are changing. If you are not changing your lifestyle, then you are not in the right place with God. If you're still doing drugs, if you're still cussing, if you're still backbiting, whatever you're doing, you have not changed, and you're not a sheep, but you're a goat. I'm telling you the truth this morning, because God's upset this morning. He's upset with the people who profess to know Jesus and don't know nothing. You don't even get in your word for yourself. And I always encourage everybody, get in the word and read it for yourself. You girls that are, you're going to start that thing, whatever, I forgot what you called it. I mean, God's with you. He's with you. And you need to move forward in that thing. Now is the time. You can't wait, because now is the time. God's bringing in these new people, you know, they're lost and dying. And everybody in here that's been given an assignment to get something accomplished, now is the time. If you don't do it now, you're not ever going to do it. Now is the time to move forward in Christ and do what he's called you forth to do. And right now, if you're a backslider and you sit in this church, you have no chance, because there's no reason for you to be a backslider. God's given you every chance you could think of. His grace has been so sufficient, and you still want to go the way of Baal. Well, he's going to let you go the way of Baal. And you won't like it. My two boys asked me all about hell the other night. And so I explained all about hell to them. They wanted to know about heaven. I said, I haven't been there. I've been to hell because people think that hell isn't real, and they just think they play around. You know, I'm sorry. I'm not even sorry. If you end up in hell, you wanted to be there. But once you get there, you're there, and you can't get out. So the altar is open. What do you really want this morning? I mean, you might not even be back or anything. Do you just want to be, God's called you to do something? All right, just like you, Diana. God's called you to do something. Now, if you would come to the altar, you'd say, God, I want you to give me everything I need to move forward to do what you're calling me for to do. It's not just your backslid. You see what I'm saying? So whatever it is you want from God this morning, he's ready to give it to you. And the altar is open. And if you know you're playing games with God and you really aren't living a godly life, you really need to get right with God this morning. You can walk out that door and die of an overdose. Walk out that door and have a car accident. You know, anything could happen to you. Let's just get it right this morning. And then keep it right.